trees.
How are you, Ish?
Very good. How are you?
Just standing.
Okay.
Can't complain. Nobody cares.
Exactly. Nobody cares. I don't care. I complain, nobody cares about me.
Rochelle, you just need to go under the awning. We don't supply raincoats. Sorry. Stand under the EZFs.
Not it.
They're requesting rain gear for pickup.
I was not requesting. That was a private thing to you, brat.
Oh, I thought you wanted it school wide. I'm sorry. They have like six EZFs tied together. I mean, come on now. I guess we're all going to melt.
Quit complaining, Rochelle.
Right?
Hi, Auntie Sal.
Aww.
Hi, Lily.
Hey, Freeman, we got another Freeman coming over here? Is there one I don't know about?
Not that I know about, my dear.
Okay, I just thought I'd check. I thought I already labeled the baby.
Okay. I'm sure that I'm waiting now.
I know. We can only wait.
I just take a nap.
I thought about taking a nap. This is my favorite weather. A book, sit by the fire, but that didn't happen at all.
I was here earlier.
I heard her.
Well, I'm gonna work. Taking a look at the email, all right?
You guys aren't doing like outside dining, are you? I mean, obviously it's raining. I get that, but I mean, in general.
Yeah, we are.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. We're closed to indoor dining. Take out.
Well, obviously you haven't missed your calendar speak up here.
He's not our representative.
He's not our representative?
Oh, yes, he is. I forgot.
I voted tomorrow. I hope.
No, that's right. I didn't vote for it.
I'm not sharing yet.
I'm an old family friend of Gallagher's.
It's a whole different
country.
Mr. Gallagher's the old Mr. Gallagher.
Yeah, go back. Oh, yeah. I mean, I know Dennis.
Not pausing, so which one's first?
Ready?
Yep.
It's called the meeting to order.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You got the floor.
Okay. So we have four board members here. We have one, Rana's on Zoom. So I want to make sure everybody's aware of that. First thing I'd like to do is talk about why we're here. So we received a letter yesterday from Dr. Liu, the health person from Yuba County. So I'm going to have Nick put the letter up on the share screen. Okay, so
you guys see it?
Tara, can you see that?
Anyone see it?
Can I get somebody to unmute and tell me if they see it, please?
Yes, we can see it.
I can see it.
Thank you. All right, so I'm going to call your attention to this letter that we received yesterday. 15 minutes before Yuba County Health Department decided to make it public. So I'm going to go through kind of the nuts and bolts of it. What we're seeing, what they're seeing. I'm not going to use the word we, but I'll go over some of this in a minute. In the past 7 days, the Yuba Center COVID-19 positive cases have increased at an alarming rate. And then she goes on to talk about schools not being immune from the effect, and that in-person classes, contact investigations, all of that have surged since Halloween, and the holiday season is still with us, and we must take action to ensure that Yuba Center situation doesn't worsen. So then she goes on to talk about taking a pause. And when Dr. Liu is talking about taking a pause, what she's saying is that if you have opened all of your grade levels, there's no pause needed in this part of the paragraph. If you are like Marysville, where they have only opened preschool through first grade, and then they were going to roll out second grade actually today, and then roll out third grade and roll out fourth grade and so on and so forth, she's asking that those districts take a pause, which means stop rolling out your grade levels. So what that means is if you've only done TK through first, that's all you're allowed to do at this point. But then she goes on in this paragraph to say that grades 7 through 12, there's a higher risk of transmission, which we've talked about that before, and that during these high elevated community transition times, she's now asking that all 7th through 12th grade revert back to distance learning, even if you've already opened up and you've been there for over a month. Now, this is absolutely counter to what's been said for the entire time that we've been dealing with COVID, is that once we are open, we can remain open even if we go from red to purple. Even as of last week, at our Monday superintendent's meetings with Dr. Liu, she said, even though the state guidance says that if you've started rolling in and we go to purple, you have to stop or you can't start another school to roll in, she said, oh, I'll still let you do that. So this was an absolute shock to us when we received it yesterday, saying that specifically for us, that we would have to potentially move 7th and 8th, which for us really means 6th, 7th, and 8th, because it's a middle school, back to distance learning. And for the high schools, 9 through 12, revert back to distance learning. So we had a meeting with her yesterday and asked if this was a mandate or an order. So if it's an order from the health department, we have no jurisdiction to overrule that order. If it's a recommendation from the health department, then it kind of falls back on us. So what she said was, it's not an order, it's a mandate. Okay, no such thing as that in this particular thing. So it's a high recommendation. We asked for an order, we were refused, and her exact words were, I need you to work with me. So with that being said, that's what brings us here tonight. The rest of the letter, you can scroll up, I don't think there's anything significantly important here. She talks about a big commitment for parents, teachers, students, superintendents, school boards, et cetera, et cetera. So let me move on to my next bit of information I'll share with you, which I think what gets Dr. Liu to where she is on this particular recommendation or mandate, using her words. So yeah, I go to the next slide. Current state, yep. All right. So what I've done here is put together some statewide information as it is affected by COVID, based on yesterday's governmental discussion. So currently, in the last 10 days, the daily cases have doubled. Now this is statewide. Understand, this is a statewide information. I'll bear down on it here in a minute to us. So from six.
We're not seeing the whatever you're trying to put up. We're just seeing the file folders.
Okay, we'll start over. Thank you, Sherry.
And we do have a lot of people trying to get into the meeting still.
Yeah, you can only do so many things at once here. Go to that.
Come on, Nick, get it together. Faster fingers.
No, that's
so actually.
This one right here.
This one?
No, right here, current state, yeah. How about now?
Yes.
Got it?
Every other time.
Okay, we're going to start over. Not over, but start this up. You got your waiting room up there. Looks like you got another one. I just joined. Okay. So everybody sees that, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So daily cases have doubled in the last 10 days statewide. So from June 15th through June 21st, there was a 39% increase. From November 1st through November 7th, they saw a 51% increase. So what they're talking about now is the state is going to build a new framework that will be needed for what they're going to consider toggling, which is going back and forth from what things are going to be happening. They have certain factors that are going to trigger some emergency breaks, as they call it. So for example, counties will now move back after 1 week, not just two. The previous guidance had, if you were in red for 2 weeks, you had to be in a session for 2 weeks. Now, and you didn't have to, you wouldn't revert back to purple until they saw 2 weeks worth of data. Now they're saying you will revert back within 1 week. They're also going to look at some counties moving multiple tiers. So there are a couple counties that were in orange and they moved all the way back to purple, which was not part of the guidance before. The counties must move back urgently. So what that means is immediately, not the 3-day delay. So for example, when Yuba County moved to purple, it gave people 3 days to change their operation standards and restaurants and those types of things. Now it is, you turn to purple, you go immediately to the purple tier guidance. And then California is going to continue assess tiers midweek. So right now they're doing it once a week. It sounds like they're going to move twice a week. So currently the state is moving backwards as more counties move to purple. We now have 41 counties back in the purple tier. Last week we had 9 counties in the purple tier. So you can see how many moved. There are 11 in red, 4 in orange, and 2 in yellow. They're saying that every age group and demographic is seeing a case in rates increase, and that basically they're blaming community spread on family gatherings. So Dr. Galley got up and spoke. He is the Secretary of the California Health and Human Services. He said 3 weeks ago, as I just explained, we had 9 counties in purple and now we're up to 41 counties. Transmission rates were low due to, in his opinion, due to wearing masks and physical distancing. They're seeing a rapid rise in COVID cases across the state, actually across the country. They're keeping transmission low, helps prevent flooding the healthcare delivery system. So again, What they're really worried about is running out of hospital space or beds. The action he recommends to continue to slow COVID is wear masks while in public. Contact tracing is revealing that in-home gatherings is the cause of the new spread. They keep going. They've been doing that for a while now, that it's the gatherings at the homes that are causing the spread. And our actual data probably proves that to be correct. So they're saying limit any kind of mixing, state released gathering guidelines. So if you saw the gathering guidelines before, it was no more than, I think it was 16, maybe 14 people from three households. Now they're saying do not gather with anybody you don't live with. So they want the gatherings to be kept short. If you're in purple or red, don't gather indoors at all with other households. If you're in orange and yellow, keep your gatherings, keep the windows and doors open, wear a mask, keep the distance. And high risk individuals should avoid gatherings completely or wear N95 masks if they have to attend something. They talked about travel, reduce your movement, which is dip right now with holidays. It's a big thing. There's a lot of people that are going to be getting on planes or driving to different places. So they're discouraging any non-essential out-of-state travel. And if you do have to go, when you come back, they suggest, these are all guidelines, not mandates, they suggest a 14-day self-quarantining after returning to the state. So if you flew to Texas on the weekend and you came back the day before Thanksgiving, they want you to self-quarantine for 14 days after you return. And they really recommend staying local. The positivity rate is 4.6 over a 14-day period and jumped to 5%. For the last 7 days, 48% of there's been a 48% increase in hospitalizations over a 14-day period. 5% of the patients in the hospital are COVID patients. 38% increase in ICU, and 13% of those patients are COVID patients. And they still have 20,000 ventilators available because of the stockpile that they did in the springtime. And that they're going to supposedly come out with new tier restrictions on Friday. So then moving to how does it look for the Wheatland School District? So this is an ever-changing number, but currently at Bear River, we've had the following. All have returned except for one student. So we had one staff member. These are all positive tests, okay? They're not people that go home because they have the sniffles or they are in close contact, which we have those as well, but those are not positive cases. So these are the positive cases in our district. We had one staff member at Bear River. We have two fifth graders, one that's currently out, the other one has returned, one sixth grader, two seventh graders, two eighth graders. The two eighth graders did not actually take a COVID test, but they're considered a presumptive positive because they had symptoms and they were in a household where somebody else was positive. I put some asterisks, one of the fifth graders and the two seventh graders, so three of the students at Bear River were all family members and got it at the same event. The staff member and one of the eighth grade students is the same family. And as I said, all students are back in school as well as the staff member, with the exception of one fifth grader. Wheatland Elementary currently has zero cases, zero students, zero teachers or staff members. Lone Tree has one staff member, zero students. Okay, so I want to reiterate, none of these cases started or have been passed on to others at school. They are all family-related events or family gatherings. I also have a little asterisk right here that says we did have one family with a seventh grader at Bear River and a second grader at Wheatland L that kept their children home at the very beginning of us going to in class. They kept them at home in October and said they were both positive, but neither Angela, our nurse, or the county could get any documentation to prove that they were. But I think it's important to recognize that that was done. So this is kind of the scary part that has led Dr. Liu to make the decisions that she's made. Currently, on Friday, we in Yuba County had 20 new cases. Sutter County had 52. Saturday, there were 14 in Yuba County and 75 in Sutter County. Sunday, there were 36 in Yuba County and 58 in Sutter County. Yesterday, there were 20 new cases in Yuba County and 80 in Sutter County. So the four-day total is 90 for Yuba County and 265. So I took it a little further and said, okay, what was it like the previous week? So it took, in the last 5 days, Yuba County has had 116 new cases. Prior to that, it took 9 days to get to 116. And then prior to that, it took 16 days to get to 116 cases. So the amount of positive cases in Yuba and Sutter County are growing exponentially. Don't move them yet. So that leads us to why we are here today, is to look at what is it that we should do based on the new recommendation or guidance from the Yuba County Health Department. With that being said, I think it's important for everybody to know that this district has hung its hat from the beginning of COVID to now on the guidance by the state and the county. And so I personally do not believe we are at a place of knowledge or skill set when it comes to medicine, except for maybe Angela Waltz, that would allow us to differentiate from what the health department is currently saying. So scroll up and I'll give you my recommendation and then we'll open it up for, we'll open it up for conversation. So I'm recommending that we continue to follow the guidance delivered to us by Dr. Liu and the Yuba County Health Department. The specifics of these recommendations are as follows. Grades preschool, really, but TK through fifth grade, no changes to their schedule. We will continue to have students come to school Tuesday through Friday and remain on an AM, PM hybrid schedule. Mondays will remain distance learning, intervention, teacher work. Sixth through eighth grade, no changes to the existing schedule. However, the schedule will revert to complete distance learning for sixth through eighth grade students for all six of their classes through December 18th. Special education students will remain on their AM schedule and they will that they currently have and will remain coming on campus from coming on campus for their first three periods. Our homeless population, we do need to offer for them, so we will allow them to continue to come into our care room if they request and do their distance learning from our care room. All sixth through eighth grade teachers will continue to work on campus and teach through distance learning from their individual classrooms. Special ed teachers and special ed cohort teachers, so special ed kids will move into a classroom together, will continue to teach live instruction for the three periods in the morning. So the idea, again, of teaching from their classrooms is it's a safe place to teach. There's no interaction between others and them. And it provides the needed equity between our on-site teachers. So all of our TK through fifth grade teachers that have to come to work every day, the distance learning teachers have the same expectation to come to work every day and work out of their classroom. I'll also reiterate that I fully believe teachers teaching from their classrooms is a significantly better model than teaching from their homes. Again, because they're in their rooms alone, there's little chance of anything COVID-related. But we do have an MOU that if indeed a teacher needs to teach remotely for a specific reason, then we can make that happen simply by following the MOU. And then I further recommend that we add an agenda item to our December 17th board meeting. In December, we have two meetings. December 10th is our normal meeting for financials and all that. December 17th is really the changing of the guard meeting where you guys vote on all the times and all that. We would add an agenda item at that point to talk about whether to return to on-site schooling or distance learning periods once we return from winter break on January 4th. We may not have enough information on the 17th of December to make that call, but it should be an agenda item to at least have that conversation. So that's my recommendation to the board, and I would love to hear from the audience on Zoom or from the board if there's anything I can clarify or go from there. So if we can take that down and then. Perfect. So I'm assuming you guys will put it in the chat because that seems to be the way it normally goes. So I'm going to wait a second and see what we have going on in the chat, and I'll read the question, try to give the answer. Please let Eric Guerin into the meeting. Sorry, we don't see the chat when we're sharing. So Eric, hopefully you're in now. And Fabian, hopefully you're in now. And we understand people are trying to get in, but when we're doing a meeting, it's very difficult to let them in and run the thing at the same time. So hopefully everybody's in now. It needs to be in. And if anybody needs me to reiterate anything, I'm happy to do so. All the people that came in after. So will 6th through 8th grade students go back to their distance learning schedules they had before going to AM/PM? No. They will remain on the schedule that they currently have, 6 periods. It will be 3 periods AM, 3 periods PM. It will just all be done distance learning. It will not go back to the same schedule they had prior to coming back to school. Potentially, if we're able to come back in January, we don't want to have to then redo the schedule again. So that's the best way to make it work. When would this proposally take effect if approved? Monday. So the guidance says we need to have it in place by Monday. Luckily, we already have Monday and Tuesday set up as distance learning days prior to this coming out. And so it would be something that we would gear up for starting Monday, which is only 2 days, which was already distance learning. And then when we come back on the 30th of November, we would roll into distance learning for 6th through 8th. Yes, Robin, please unmute yourself.
Thanks, Craig. Just a quick comment. First of all, thank you for listening to Dr. Liu, because I don't feel any of us are experts, myself included. That's way above my pay grade. Secondly, I would only have a suggestion as doing the distance learning 6 hours a day, and I'm sure Paula can probably pipe in and Janine here too, is once you get in the groove, it starts to work pretty smoothly. But I would suggest that perhaps we go to 45 minute classes instead of 50, or like people like me that run late past the 50 minutes, because it would give kids a full 15 minute break from ending one class to starting the other. And maybe that's a site-based thing only, but it would just give those kids a break to use the bathroom and stop them from coming in late to a Zoom class, which can be very disruptive trying to get them caught up, and it wouldn't have them on the computers as much.
Robin, I personally think that's a great idea. And when I say 6 classes, I wasn't necessarily referring to 60-minute classes. I was referring to keeping the same schedule that they currently have. And I do think it is a site-based decision to an extent. You can't say, well, we're only gonna do 20 minutes. But I actually, when I was talking to Ange about this earlier today, there's probably times where you're gonna teach for 30 minutes and give them independent work for the second portion of their time. But yes, I think a break and a bathroom break and all of that makes some sense. The big issue, obviously, is if they roll off of Zoom and then they have to roll back on. It's that connectivity piece, but I'm sure we can work through that. Justin, you had a question or a statement, something?
I, I do, Craig. So the one concern I have is the amount of time we're asking our kids to be on distance learning, 6 hours a day. I think Robin kind of touched on it. Teachers might be used to that format, but what we were doing before is the kids were doing 3 hours a day, and they were doing an A and a B schedule. I'm just concerned about kids being online for 6 hours a day for their education when that's not something that they've been doing up until this point.
And I totally get that. And honestly, I think Robin did touch on that. It's probably not going to be 6 hours a day. It's going to be six 45-minute classes or something like that where they have breaks in between. It is really sticking to the schedule. So they had ELA, PE, and elective already on distance learning. Now we're going to add in social science, science, and math. How, unless we keep the kids on campus, which is certainly an option because it is not in order at this point, but I don't think that many of us want to take on that liability, that it would be six classes in the neighborhood of 45 minutes apiece.
And so the suggestion I had, Craig, was why are we not looking at the model that we were using before with the three classes on Tuesday, three separate classes on Wednesday, kind of the rotating schedule?
Because this is a 3 week period of time that we've already built schedules. And if my understanding and your wife and Ange can pipe in here, but if we change the schedule again, they have to go in and rehand enter every single student into that old schedule because you cannot change them as easily as people think when you push a button. So, and I also think that the intent here, this is my intent, I'm not speaking for anybody else. My intent here is not to take education away from kids. And if we go back to 3 hours, Tuesday, Thursday, and three, then what we've essentially done is cut out 3 hours a day of education. And that messes with my comfort level and what we're doing. So I don't know, Andrew or Sherry, if you want to comment on the schedule piece, but again, it's 3 weeks, really, because it's from November 30th through December 18th. And then at the December 17th meeting, we have another conversation about what it looks like in the future.
And it would be an enormous ordeal to create an entire different schedule in addition to all the grade books that have just rolled would be completely messed up again and have to start from scratch. So it's just not feasible.
All right, so moving on to the next comment. How was the decision made to move older BL grades to all distance learning but keep younger grades coming to school? Can you explain the thought process for the recommendation? The recommendation comes from Dr. Liu. Dr. Liu and the state of California fully believe that younger students do not have the same level of COVIDity to pass it on to others. And our own evidence of zero cases in our K through four grades and a few cases at fifth grade proved that. So the decision or my recommendation is strictly following the letter that Dr. Liu sent to all the Yuba County superintendents requesting that all 7th through 12th grade go back to distance learning. We included 6th strictly because we run a middle school and we don't run a junior high, which would just be 7-8. As a parent of a distance learner, I disagree with 45-minute concept. 10 minutes is enough for a bathroom break. 10 minutes is enough for a bathroom break. I'm not sure what the disagreement is on the 45 minutes, but I mean, we all know from doing this for the last 10 months that we're going to have people that agree and that disagree with everything that is up there. And I think the teachers can figure out when they've lost the kids and when they haven't lost the kids. And as Robin said, some of her classes go longer based on what she's teaching and how enthusiastic the students are. And other days it may only go 35 minutes because she's lost them. So, you know, those are the things that we let the professionals Take care. Can you scroll that back down? Please keep changing that drastically could be a disaster. Speaking of schedule, yes, I agree. Please keep schedule the same. Look, we're going to keep schedule the same. I love the input, but it's not doable to change the schedule in my recommendation. Again, we're talking about a three-week period right now. It could extend because if you listen to the experts, they think that this COVID thing is going to continue to rear up because really what they're saying is people aren't listening. People are still going to have big Thanksgivings and then multiple people are going to get sick.
COVID fatigue is what they're calling it.
COVID fatigue is when you stop wearing your mask and you do all of those things, but it's the social gatherings as well. I mean, as Robin said, we're not experts in the medical field, but I can tell you that if you close all the restaurants and you close all of the places, the people still, we're social beings. They end up wanting to go together and they end up at the house instead of. But hopefully, if people understand that the effect on everybody in the community by taking these chances, it hurts our children in the classrooms because they can't be in there. But that's really the issue here is trying to get through the next 3 weeks. And we are seeing, we're not seeing a rise in COVID positives in our schools at the level that the community is seeing. But unfortunately, it ties its hand in hand. If a parent tests positive for COVID and the student doesn't, the student's considered a close contact, still has to stay away for 14 days. So no matter what, the student is losing a significant amount of education because of COVID, not necessarily because they have COVID. So he was thinking periods 1-3, Tuesday, Thursday, periods 4-6, Wednesday, Friday, which wouldn't change the schedule. It takes away education, unless I'm misreading. It takes away the ability for our teachers to see their kids every day. Now they're only going to see those ELA kids 2 days a week and not 4 days a week. So I'll just flat out say I'm totally against that. If we shorten our classes to 45 minutes, could we push them together to allow for more office hours each day? So again, we built the schedule to have Mondays as the office hours. There has been some push to change the schedule again to go 5 days a week and lower the amount of time that students are in there on a daily basis, so that instead of having all the teacher time on Monday, there's an intervention and all of that, there's teacher time every day. I don't think that changing a schedule right now is going to be very popular with parents to say, hey, your kid was coming to school for 3 hours a day, 4 days a week, but now your child's going to come for 2 hours and 25 minutes, 5 days a week. It's just, to me, we can't continue to do this to parents. This is already, having to put kids back on distance learning is going to be a huge impact for many of our parents. But I personally don't think we have a choice given the letter we received. When you refer to special ed kids being on campus, does that mean students with an IEP will be on campus? If they are 6th through 8th grade, then those students that have academic goals, not speech only kids, would be coming on campus because they have a schedule. If they have a schedule right now receiving special ed services that are academically based, then they would be the ones I'm talking about. Totally off topic. I love it. But is there a way to request teachers to make it mandatory for students to put their camera on for Zoom classes to ensure that they are actually paying attention? That's a great question, but not one that I think that legally has been sorted out. I don't believe we have the authority. We can request that they have their cameras on, but I don't think we have the authority to tell them they must. We also have students who may not have a camera on their computer. And if you look at our Zoom right now, I don't know if you can see them all, but look at all the people that don't have their cameras on.
Which would be you, Tabitha, too.
So yeah, it's.
Where's your picture?
It is difficult, but I understand the reason for that. Yes, Robin, please unmute yourself.
Craig, if it's a particular parent that is worried about their student being on Zoom, I have actually three of them whose parent is requiring, because they know their child, requiring them to be on Zoom. So with that permission in writing via an email, I tag those three students every day. Your mother said, put your camera on right now.
Absolutely.
And so it just, that kind of works if the parent does.
Thank you, Robin. Sharon, you have a comment?
Just to speak to the camera, I had sent an article out to our staff when we were in distance learning that talks about students that might have difficult living situations or might not want their home to be shown. So we've been kind of sensitive to those kinds of things. We also have teachers who, you know, if you have somebody on here who's not with their picture, they kind of check in with them at the beginning, check in with them at the end, and see that they're still there. Now, if you keep calling on them and they're not there, you know that they're not paying attention and we can email them or reach out to parents. But we've tried to be sensitive to, there might be other reasons why they don't have their camera on.
Thank you, Sherry. That is correct. That is good information. And Paula kind of says the same thing. Many of our students have limited Wi-Fi ability. And if you add your camera in, it slows everything way down. And sometimes the computers, once you turn the camera on, they stop working. Tabitha gave us a smiley face and an awesome thank you. So thank you, Tabitha. For anything else, I'll just wait here a minute and see what other questions we may have. I'll just kind of key in on a few things right now to let you know where others stand on this issue. So this has consumed us for the last 2 days, us meaning the Yuba County superintendents and principals and so on and so forth. But we have been on Zoom after Zoom after Zoom trying to get down to the nuts and bolts of why this is happening only in Yuba and Sutter County. We actually, Yuba Sutter County made the LA Times today as one district one county who is choosing to roll back schools. Other counties around are not, but that doesn't mean that they won't as we get further and further into this. The other issue is, as much as I don't want to say it, TK through 5 is not going to be off the table to go back to distance learning if the state mandates it. And the state is talking about going way back to, you know, almost lockdown in your houses. And if that happens, we don't have choices. So Rhonda just asked, when might we address all grades going to distance learning? When we have guidance from the health department or the state that says that TK through 5 or 4-5 or 2-5 or whatever they say, when they get to us and say that we need to talk about them going to distance learning or you need to go to distance learning, then that's when that would come up. Again, I'm going to tell you, I don't necessarily agree with this guidance that Dr. Liu put out because I'm an educator and she's a doctor. But like Robin said, we don't know what she's dealing with, and we don't know where this is coming from. All I know is that we've always followed the guidance here, and I don't feel like this is a time for us to say, thank you very much for the guidance, we'll just go out on our own, because all of the statistics I showed earlier is showing you that we're going to continue at this point of having more and more COVID cases. So that's why I recommend that we follow the guidance. The guidance specifically does not say to close any grade levels, TK through 5th, and nobody else is. So that brought me back to my original conversation before I birdwalked here a little bit, but The high school has their meeting right now. My guess is they will be closing as well, going to distance learning. Plumas Lake has theirs at 6 o'clock. Their superintendent has the same recommendation that I have recommendation. Again, the board has to make those decisions. Marysville already put it out yesterday that they're following the guidance, and because they only opened TK through first, even though they were supposed to open second today, they put a stop to that. I think the guidance said they could have done that and then they had to stop on Monday, but they chose not to. Yuba City is doing the same thing. They haven't rolled in middle school or high school, so they've stopped where they're at. Markham, Illinois, Nuestro, and Meridian have all done the same recommendation that we're doing. East Nicholas High School is thinking about going out on their own at this point and staying in school, but they probably will change that. So that's what I know about what's happening in our local area. So I'm happy to answer any other questions. So seeing Jamie's name on here, what is that going to mean for lunch? What that's going to mean for lunch is no difference at Wheatland L or at Lone Tree, but at Bear River, we're going to have lunch that will be given out to fourth and fifth graders on the AM PM, and then we'll have to have a specific time for 6 through 8 to be able to drive up and get their lunch. So that'll be a schedule that Sherry gets to make.
I hand it off.
What else do we have? I joined late, so what's our decision at this point? Right, can we go back and share my recommendation for those people who joined late?
Reading the document?
Yeah. No, forget it. It's too much to share. The recommendation that I'm giving to the board right now is that we follow the guidance of Dr. Liu, which is keep TK through 5 on our hybrid AM PM model, and there'll be no change. Move our 6th through 8th grade to complete distance learning. So right now they're on an AM PM for half their classes and distance learning for all, so the rest of their classes. On-site for half, distance learning for half. They will go to all distance learning, is my recommendation. For the next 3 weeks, not this week, starting Monday, and for the next 3 weeks after Thanksgiving break, and then we'll revisit it in December to see where the case count is for COVID and what the effects are. So, Stephanie, does that help? Thank you. Looks like Donita wants to get in.
I'm not Linda.
Donita's going to come in and say, what's the decision? Here we go. Thank you, Annette. Can you let parents know what services are available to assist them with their children with the stress that might come from these changes? Our counselors are available, our psychologists are available, our school nurses available, all of our administrators are available. We can certainly set up either Zoom conversations with our counselors, we can set up in-school, on-campus conversations because we are allowed to bring in small cohorts. And we're talking about just the 6th through 8th graders that are gonna see these changes. So they would wanna reach out to Corey Lupi at Bear River, Sherry, or Ange, or Angela Waltz, our nurse, or Janelle Stevenson, the psychologist. I was trying to see who was at which site. So, Annette, that's how they would go about that. Not to mention every teacher that we have has also probably got a master's in counseling after this 10 months of COVID. So they can certainly talk to each of the students individually. There's breakout rooms that they can do that. They can make appointments for Mondays. They can do all kinds of things to help as well. Corey says she's happy to have the kids, can work with on what works best for the families. Thank you, Corey. So I'm just going to give it a few more minutes because I don't want to have anybody leave thinking they didn't get their question answered. We have another one jumping in there. I'm seeing nothing. So at this point, I'm going to throw it back to the board for any discussion you may have or questions you may have. And then if any other ones come up, we can certainly respond to them.
I'll give them to follow your recommendation. Bad as it is, hard as it is to make, I think that's what we should do. And hopefully by the 18th of December, we can do something different. But at least we have that 3 weeks to decide whether it's working or it's not working, and it changes if we be then.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to be the total odd duck out here because I think we should. I appreciate your recommendation. I agree with your recommendation once it becomes a mandate, but as a recommendation, when I look at the numbers, I think our nurses and health aides have been so diligent and have done such a great job monitoring things, sending kids home, you know, doing that. Our numbers speak volumes to that, to how hard I mean that they're doing. And when I look at a zero or very few numbers, and not getting it from school, I hate to see kids out of the classroom unless it's absolutely, I mean, I get that it's a recommendation and I've stewed on this for 24 hours just like you did, but until I'm leaning towards until they say it's a mandate, I think our kids are losing out. That's
I'm not going to disagree.
I know, I'm not going against you, what you're saying. I'm just
That's why,
unfortunately, you're trying to tell the story.
Yeah.
There's
two things that, well, there's probably 100 things that I could say about it, but the two main things that really drive me to make the recommendation that I've made is that Dr. Liu is the paid expert to tell us what we need to do. Does she understand education? No. Does she understand our protocols? No, because if she did, she wouldn't tell us something 15 minutes before they make it public. Because that, you know, for those of you that don't know this, I originally scheduled this meeting for noon today because we were under the gun to get things talked about. And because of the fact that it got on Friends of Wheatland 15 minutes after we received it as superintendents. So that becomes, and it didn't come from us, just make that clear. It got on there and then people were blowing up the phones. And I didn't even have an opportunity to talk to the 5 board members about it, let alone secretaries having to take all these phone calls. So we've tried two things. One is to get Dr. Liu to give us a little more of a heads up, which she's fearful that it will get out before all those things, which is our fear too, because it gets out before we can do it. And the other thing that she has flat out said, and I don't know what her political ramifications are, but she says she is not going to make it an order. So at this point, we are given what we're given to the extent that this is what the letter says, without it being a direct order. And my biggest concern is that we go against the county order and God forbid something does blow up at school with COVID, and then that falls back on us as a school district for not following the guidance. That's really kind of what led me down this path to make this recommendation.
Yeah, it's hard because these not people losing out every single day with all the school year already.
You bet.
Aren't back where they need to be all day, every day.
But it's not forever.
Right.
Nope, it's not.
It sucks that it's this long.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's not forever. So, I mean, you got to look at what's the safest thing for everybody involved, not just kids, but everybody. And so, you know, I've always gone to the science. I mean, I'm not going to listen to any specific political person. I'm looking at the science that we've done. And right there, you just show that it's doubled in 4 days or 5 days, the case. Mm-hmm. So is it going to double in another 5 days? Is it going to double?
But I agree with that. But look at the science of the school. If you look at our school numbers and you go by that,
yeah,
I mean,
well, it's all inevitable. If somebody at home getting it, it's going to come to school sooner or later.
Well, also, though, you've got the science of it's 99% of people recovered.
Right.
So, you know.
But there's 1% that don't. Yeah. Give me that 1%.
Well, that's the flu. That's,
yeah, a lot more than that for the flu.
You know, I have people telling me a lot of our masks is blah, blah, blah. You know, and I said, okay. So then you don't care if your mom gets it? You know, I just don't have an answer for that. They just don't want to follow the mandate because they're told to.
Well, we have, you know, I mean, speaking to the district and what we've put every safety protocol imaginable in our sites, keeping kids 6 feet apart, even though we've had situations where a kid is 5 feet from the other one because there were an extra kid or two in the classroom. We put up, you know, we have the HVAC system, we have the mask requirements, we have all of the things in place. And yes, our numbers are relatively low. They're pretty much zero. They are zero K through four. And then they elevate up. And that's kind of what this is saying, is that middle school children tend to get it more and pass it more. Let's see. Since the second trimester is the shortest and AR books have been difficult to get, can we waive AR goals for this trimester?
And that's been a huge thing on Facebook and everything else. Parents are going crazy because kids have like 50 AR points that they have to get. And they, it's like 2/3 of their grades, supposedly. I've gotten lots of emails about the AR is a huge portion of it because kids don't want to read after they've been on the computer for 3 hours and been at school for 3 hours. So the AR is a huge portion with parents right now.
It's not 2/3, it's like 16%.
Well, and this kid's a really good reader, the 50.1. They live in France, and he's way beyond, and so he has a huge goal, and he's burnt out. And
yeah, you know, I mean, AR is AR, and I mean, we can certainly talk about that. Statewide, just so you guys are aware, it doesn't really impact us as much because we don't have high schools, but the failure rate for high school students right now has doubled since COVID came in. And part of it is that students are not participating like they should. Part of it is teachers have kept the same expectations of students, even though distance learning hasn't given them the same education. And then part of it is, I don't know what, but the discussion today on one of the meetings I was at from the high school principals or superintendent or districts that have high schools, not just high school, is coming up with a board policy to deal with grades because of the high failure rate and because all of that is tied to graduation requirements, you could end up with fifth year seniors and so on and so forth because of COVID. And I can't speak to, I don't think our grades are as big of an issue because colleges don't go back and say, hey, what did they get in Mr. Guzman's class, right? They don't. But grades are a good indication of whether the student is performing. I'm hoping that our teachers are doing exactly what we asked them to do at the beginning and having some grace over the fact that this is distance learning and not the same as it is if they're there every day. I will go back to one other thing about, and so that doesn't really, Jay White, I didn't really answer your question about the AR goals, and I think that's a bigger question that I'll have to have contact with the principals, and they can talk with their teachers, and we can talk about that piece. I'll do these other two, and then let me come back to what I was going to say, if I can remember that one. I hope we will revisit the recommendation if thighs. What's thighs? Could you unmute yourself, Rhonda?
It's down further, Mr. Gensler.
Okay.
Her message got lit.
Okay, thank you. Stephanie just wants to say kids should be reading regardless of COVID or library availability. Books are available online. I'm sure parents can get together and share books. I know I personally have tons. Thank you, Stephanie, for that. And we can get books to anybody. That's, reading is important. AR requirements is another discussion. Thank you, Nikki. Parents are doing what they can as well. Rhonda, things change before Christmas break. Sorry, my miss. Okay, so let me go back to the beginning of her message. There we go. I hope we will revisit the recommendation if things change before Christmas break. Gotcha. Absolutely. I mean, it can go either way for us, right? We can get the bad news of having to do something with other grade levels on distance learning, or we could get Dr. Liu saying, hey, everybody listened at Thanksgiving and our COVID cases have come back down and now 7 through 12, you can go back to school. So if that happens, we certainly would come back to that one. I think that's very important. Robin says, the EPIC program that have many classes using, not available 24/7. I know for my son, he cannot log in after 5 p.m., which makes it difficult reading AR books. We have lots of physical books, but there is a lot more than EPIC. And my understanding, Robin, if you're still on here, EPIC doesn't hit middle school, correct? Is Robin still on? Or anybody?
It still does do it.
What's that?
It only goes to sixth grade.
Thank you. I don't know why there's a time frame attached to EPIC. We could call them and see if there's a way to solve that problem. So Nick, put that on your little sticky there, so we can check into that tomorrow. Thank you, Elaine. So she just started, a Wheaton High School board voted to go distance learning until January. Moving up, Robin, you can sign up for a free account on EPIC as a parent, and then your child can read beyond the cutoff. So maybe it's tied to the age of the student. Maybe, I don't know, Robin, try that and let us know if that works. Sign up at, have Tim sign up, or you sign up and see if you can go beyond the 5 o'clock. Thank you, Hi. Angie, for talking about that.
Craig.
Oh, it's not free. Oh.
We've done that, and we've gone through our 30 days, and it's $7.99 a month for Tony to be able to access it after 5 p.m.
Wow.
That is true, but it was not like that when we did distance learning in the spring. So correct. I don't know if it's something that the district was covering for us in the springtime, and then it's not being paid for now by the district, or how that's, because it was, we did not have to do that in this.
I wasn't sure who was speaking there, but Rochelle, was that you?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, that's okay. A lot of things were free when we first went into distance learning, and they hooked you, right? Zoom was free for us. And then once we started distance learning, now we have to pay for the program so that the teachers have access to all the things they need to have. EPIC Books was probably the same. We were getting it free for a number of months. And now we would have to look at what would it cost to have a district license, which I think we looked at the beginning of the year, and it was quite expensive.
Robin, right. Just give up Starbucks once a month, or have Tim give up his monster drink or whatever, and you're good to go.
Yeah, we'll check into it though. For all of you, all of those that are talking about Epic, we'll get some information, and I'll try to post it once I have it.
Thank you.
Angie, thanks for clarifying that. I didn't put any payment info, so I guess we will enjoy those 30 days. You can't download the books, I'm assuming, right? So you can't hold on to them. Nah, figures. Amazon Prime has books, I believe, too, that you can get if you're a Prime member. So
you can get that Netflix, and just switch it out, or Hulu. You guys can have family reading with the TV.
I'm not seeing anything else. You can download Melissa Morse. You can download a ton of books online if you Google them with a PDF at the end. Thank you, Melissa. If you sign up for the Sacramento Library Card, there is online books that you can also download. Thank you, Tabitha. So you look at all these resources. I'm going to give it a couple more minutes, and then I'm going to the board, if you have anything else you'd like to add. I'm kind of bummed that the high school got done before we did.
No, it just means we have more caring staff and parents.
There you go.
Let's look at it positively.
All right, well, that's okay. I don't know if it's a Mr. White or Mrs. White, but it was a good discussion about AR, so thank you.
It's Jennifer.
Jennifer, thank you, Jennifer. And audiobooks from Sacramento. So there's lots of books. Google free books, and I bet you find a bunch of them. All right, so I'm gonna, at this point, let the board go with whatever you're gonna go with. I'll move forward.
I would really accept your recommendation.
Ronnie, you need to unmute yourself for this, please, if you can. Or you can either do that or give a thumbs up, thumbs down.
No.
So we have currently have one a move. We don't have a second.
Okay. Are there motion to approve the recommendation?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
What's Ronna?
Ronna, yes or no on the recommendation? Thumbs up or thumbs down, please. Since your muting is an issue there. Ronna, can you hear me, Ronna?
No.
Hey,
caller.
Okay. I'm calling you.
I'm asking her to unmute.
If
you
stay
there's a new.
Okay. Oh, barely.
Yeah, barely.
Oh, there you go. Try now.
Oh, hit the space bar again.
Hit the space bar and hold it down. Nope. Now she's muted again. Mm-hmm. I'm calling you.
You can hear the phone with me.
Hello, I'm going to put you on speaker. All right. Okay, so Ronna, right now we have a first and a second for following the recommendation. And we had a vote, but I don't know who voted what, but they were asking what your vote was. Follow recommendation or no?
Yeah, back
to
vote, I would like to say as long as
we
revisit it when necessary, but I vote
to
the recommendation. Yes.
You guys hear that?
Yes.
All right, Ron, I'm going to hang up now because we're getting a lot of back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, and opposed?
Nay.
Okay, so motion carried because you got 3-2. So the recommendation.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you all. Let's see, anything else come up here? Annette, thank you for supporting our kids and families. Please let me know if you can be of any assistance out here. I'm here to help. Thank you. All right, thank you all. We're going to end the meeting.